97.9 The Hill, WCHL, and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus, dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, UNC Journalism Professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the FBI investigation into corruption in college basketball. Our guest, NNO reporter Steve Wiseman. Steve, this boils down to Adidas, one of the shoe companies, has been accused of paying athletes or their families to get said athlete to sign with an Adidas school. The first trial has started, and basically they're saying, yeah, we paid these families. Where does this put us?
Yeah, I mean, the government's case against these three individuals, two Nike employees, I'm sorry, Adidas employees, I'm sorry, flip. We think Nike's probably next. But anyway, an Adidas employee, two Adidas employees, and a runner for an agent named Kristen Dawkins, is his runner's name. And the government has to prove, their case is that these individuals defrauded the universities by allowing them to sign players who were ineligible to play. So, and that these guys rendered them ineligible by funneling them this money against NCAA rules. So there's two things here. One, it's the guilt or innocence of these three individuals on that front. And two, they're admitting that they violated NCAA rules by making these payments. They have not denied making these payments, but they don't think they broke any federal laws. So, you know, whether they go to jail or not, or are convicted or not, is one thing, obviously, for their freedom and their futures. But as far as the future of college basketball, I still think we're going to have NCAA ramifications from this, no matter what happens as far as the guilt or innocence of these three men.
All right, so the part about the schools who signed the athletes being defrauded, that's the hard pill for me to swallow from the beginning. You know, for the past year, it's like, well, how did those schools get defrauded? Didn't the schools who didn't get these athletes get defrauded? It's kind of murky to me.
It is. It's and that's why this ended up going to trial. I mean, as you know, the federal government doesn't lose trials very often. They get a lot of their conviction rates extremely high in the 90%. So I think that is a tough thing, and that's what the lawyers for these three men are counting on, is that confusion, and they're trying to confuse the jury. And how can you say these universities lost anything when they ended up getting these players and making money off of them? You know, they're filling arenas, TV contracts, coaches' contracts, apparel deals. They get them because they have good athletic teams. So, yeah, that's a great point, and it is going to be a tough one to prove.
All right, so from an SB Nation article, the first person on trial is Jim Gatto, who's the former Adidas executive. And according to SB Nation, the defense is basically saying everybody cheats. What's the big deal?
Right, and I know Judge Kaplan, who's overseeing this trial in federal court in New York, has already said that defense isn't going to fly with him. So he's instructed the jury that the everybody's doing it defense won't work in his eyes. Now maybe there's an appeal down the road that the defense attorneys can use that to their advantage. But so that, to me, when he said that, that raised the odds of a conviction here, because that's the main point the defense is using for these guys.
And Gatto and his attorneys are basically saying, and it's not just Adidas, it's Nike, it's Under Armour, it's everybody. And a really weird sort of statement is, I think it was Nasir Little, right, who was supposedly, according to this attorney, Nasir Little, who's now at UNC, who was offered $150,000 to go to Arizona. And it's like, well, the only reason he and other athletes are getting these big offers is because we had to counter offers they were getting or going to get from other companies. It's like, this is hard to follow. So I can see the jury having difficulty with this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why earlier when I slipped and said Nike, I think we all know that there, Adidas isn't out there offering money in a vacuum. They're doing it because it's competition. This is all, the capitalistic system that we all live in, or that everybody's trying to make money. So they're only doing it because they think they have to do it to get these kids to catch up to Nike, because Nike is the market leader in shoe sales and apparel and basketball and all that. So, their numbers. It used to be a phrase, a car company's number two and trying harder. I think it was Avis. So Adidas is playing the Avis in this story. But yeah, it is strange that, again, going back to what we said about the universities being defrauded, that in one case with North Carolina State, there's evidence been introduced that their assistant coach was involved in helping funnel the money to the player, the family of Dennis Smith. NC State's the only one where there's been a coach implicated as having that major of a role. The rest of these cases in this trial, Miami, Louisville, there's no indication that the actual university employee was involved. So that does make that a little bit different. Again, when you're trying to prove the university was defrauded, if you've got a coach who's part of the process, that's going to blow a hole in that theory.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with News and Observer reporter Steve Weissman. We're talking about the FBI investigation and the trials that have resulted in regarding corruption in college basketball. Steve, some of the Louisville, we've known for a year, the head coach lost his job there. We've known for a year that Louisville was implicated, Arizona, some others, Oregon kind of came out of the woodwork here in the past couple of days.
Yeah, and Kansas, is in here too. Within the last few days here, there's been a lot of evidence introduced about Kansas, which to me is probably the most high profile of the programs. And talk about, Kansas is up there with Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, the programs that have always been at the top of college basketball, even more than Louisville and even Arizona. So, Oregon came out. And again, Oregon's a Nike school. I mean, they're a flagship Nike school. So, again, we're getting close to cross it over into other companies that are going to come down the road. So, that's when this is kind of what we've all been in the media waiting for with this case was when the trial started and things got introduced into the public record in open court. So far, when this investigation became public a year ago, September,
so
drips and drabs came out, but it took a long time for us to get hard facts that come out in a court of law.
All right, so several people have written about this. USA Today, we've already mentioned SB Nation, your colleague Luke Dukak at the News and Observer, and certainly here locally, more so than is there corruption in college basketball, what about these various other schools, is the effect that all this might have on local schools. You mentioned NC State, and it looks like the evidence is pretty strong that Dennis Smith got $40,000 in a paper sack, if you're to believe some of the reporting, from the assistant coach. And then the corollary to that is, would you expect anything less with Mark Gottfried at the helm?
Well, yeah, that's what's funny. And you mentioned Luke in his column that he wrote that, NC State, Debbie Yao has come in and done, as an AD since she came in 2010, has done a great job of building up that athletic department. Their football team's doing well. They're doing well in Olympic sports, non-revenue sports, we used to call them, and things that were at the bottom. And then basketball is the flagship over there, and she trusted Mark Gottfried, who had a shaky history at previous stops in his coaching career, and was out of coaching when she hired him, and turned, you know, gave him the keys to the program. And while they did some, you know, compliance work, educating the staff, all that, you know, here he was from the evidence that came out last week. He took a helicopter ride with Orlando Early down to Fayetteville to recruit Dennis Smith. And the compliance director didn't even know he was doing it. And she found about it on social media and was all worried that there might be violations. It turned out there weren't any violations. But just the fact that he felt enough empowerment to do that without checking with, you know, the administration tells you that they weren't keeping a pretty good, a strong eye on somebody like that as they should have been. And now, you know, it could, you know, certainly has the NCAA's attention, even though it happened three or four years ago. Now the coaches are gone, the players are gone, but that's never stopped the NCAA with applying sanctions to a school before. So I think NC State's going to feel the wrath pretty good here.
All right. So not to let the couple of other local schools off the hook, both in DeCock's column and in the USA Today article, Roy Williams was mentioned and Coach Krzyzewski as well as having their heads in the sand or worse, and we'll get to the or worse in a minute. But in fact, let's get to it right now. Okay. It's a blip. You know, that's lots of writers have picked up on Kay's comment that it's a blip. That kind of reminds me of, you know, the lookout on the deck of the Titanic going, there's something out there, but I don't think it's going to cause any problems.
That's a very good analogy. And I was in that press conference and I was kind of stunned to hear him say that too. I mean, he, you know, a year ago when this came out, he said he didn't think this was a widespread problem. So this isn't the blip, narrow it down to a blip is a little stronger than what he said last year. But again, as you mentioned earlier, in this trial, new schools have already bubbled up to the top here that hadn't been mentioned before. You know, Oregon is one. And so I think it's more than a blip. And really, I know other people have written this too, and I agree that the status that Coach K and Roy Williams have within college basketball, college sports, allow them an opportunity here to help make a difference, to help fix what problems there are. And there are problems, no doubt. We wouldn't be having this trial. And they've kind of missed on an opportunity here to do that.
And is it head in the sand or is it worse than that?
You know, I want to say it's head in the sand because, you know, just being around these two programs, you know, they seem like they're at the level where they shouldn't have to cheat to get players. They you know, we can spend the whole rest of our time together here talking about how much these two programs have accomplished in the sport as far as winning and status. So they shouldn't have to do that. But then again, we didn't think Kansas should have to do that either. But maybe they're trying to catch up to Duke and USC as far as their status. So. But yeah, I think it's more. I think with those two, it's more head in the sand because, good Lord, they've both been head coaches for so long that you can't tell me that they've never come across a situation where they were recruiting a player and somebody approached them with a handout or whatever. You know, however that process gets going, and they just said, you know what, we're not going there. We don't do that. You know, you can go somewhere else and play. If they did that, that's fine. Just you can say that, and it would be fine. But so to say that they've never come across this, or that it's a blip, kind of really sounded wrong.
Sports Focus. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle, and now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion of the trials that have just started that are the result of an FBI investigation into corruption in college basketball. So, Steve, when you and we're talking with Steve Wiseman of the News and Observer, when you look at the list of potential witnesses, of course, a couple of them jump out, Mark Gottfried, Nasir Little, local folks, but this is in a sense, kind of a who's who of college, Rick Pitino, Bill Self, Jim Larinaga, you know, wow, what's going on here?
Yeah, they've all been mentioned in these cases where, you know, there's been wiretaps. And one thing is that none of them were called to testify. And I know that the defense rested yesterday in New York and should be going to the jury here at the end of this week in this trial anyway. And also in those wiretaps, we thought maybe we would hear conversations involving those coaches, but that hasn't happened either. And I don't know if the government is holding on that for a larger case down the road, you know, get this one done and save this for later or use it as leverage. I'm not sure, obviously, what their approach to that is, but it is interesting that all those names have been mentioned and stuff, but they haven't come up and testified yet. So that's where, again, we talk about tip of an iceberg. I think, and, you know, this is an investigation that I think is just starting. I think new things are going to spiral out of this case and out of this all this investigative work the FBI has done.
Yeah, the article in USA Today, and I'm going to read a quote here and ask you to respond to it. Any program tied to these people, and by these people, they mean the people who are on the witness list, should be sweating right now, especially since the NC2A essentially gave itself subpoena power in its recent rule changes. I'm familiar with some of the rule changes, but not the one that would give the NC2A, quote, subpoena power. And what does it matter if the NC2A has subpoena power? Because this is a trial. They've already admitted we broke rules, but they're saying, but we didn't break any laws. But the reason you have a trial is because someone's charging, at least, that someone did break laws.
That's right. And so, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, too, and that, you know, they can be found innocent, you know, in the jury trial of these charges. And yet, that doesn't mean the schools involved aren't going to get slammed by the NCAA, because it used to be they were hesitant to use the NCAA, I'm talking about, in their investigative process. Information gathered by outside sources, FBI, police, whatever. They like to do their own investigations, but yet they don't have the investigative power that the FBI does. And so now they have adjusted that rule to where all this stuff that's in court now, they can just grab and just plug it right into their you know, system and use it instead of having to go back and redo the interviews themselves. That is a key factor here. And so that's why all this stuff that's come out in trial is so important, because it clearly, you know, when they say we broke NCAA rules, I mean, it happened. And so there's going to be sanctions come out of this for a lot of schools.
Yeah, and the USA Today article sort of ends with, even if they can prove, they being the defense, can prove that these universities weren't defrauded. And again, I think that's the slippery part of this whole thing. The universities benefited, you know, those who signed these these big name athletes. But even if that's proved, there's sure to be, and we have already seen, lots of juicy details about the corruption in college hoops. So how can that be just a blip?
Right, exactly. And even, you know, and just within the last 24 hours here before we taped this, it hit real close to home to Coach K with Zion Williamson's name coming up as part of a taped conversation between one of the guys on trial and a Kansas assistant coach who was talking about how Williamson, somebody close to Williamson or his family, started talking details about winning cash or a job or whatever, and the coach told the Adidas guy, look, we need to do whatever we can to get him because he's that type of player. Now, he ended up not going to Kansas. He ended up signing with Duke. And so that just, even though there's no finger pointed at Duke here, there's enough smoke there that there's going to have to be some sort of an inquiry or investigation, whatever you want to call it, and to make sure that his recruitment to Duke was as clean as what Coach K and Duke hope it is.
And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, NNO writer Steve Wiseman. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.